today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Matthew Traylor, on retirement as a time for a renewed call to discipling ministry.
What we want to help men particularly understand is you have a purpose beyond your vocation. And if we start now while we're in our vocation, it's a great way to begin thinking about what am I doing now that's beyond and greater than my vocation? And how am I impacting the kingdom ultimately? It's really changing perspectives.
Matthew Traylor next. Coming up, an insightful discussion on various aspects of retirement from a Christian perspective. Spencer Dahlke is with Matthew Traylor, Director of Programs at the Christian Businessmen's Connection.
I've not heard of this organization before. Would you tell us a little bit about what you guys are and what you do?
Well, it's interesting. We get that a lot, but we've been around for 95 years. CBMC originally began on the heels of the Great Depression, 1930. There was a lot of devastation from the Depression going on, and the men in the business community, business owners, business leaders, wanted to begin praying for their community, but also men felt it was an opportune time to share the gospel. And so that's how CBMC was born. And for 95 years, our mission has remained present the gospel and develop businessmen, disciple businessmen, so that they become disciple makers as well. We spend most of our day in our place of work. And so what a great place to help bring others into the kingdom of God by influencing those around you, particularly as a business leader or owner. And we help equip men to do that.
So what do you do then? You're the director of programs?
I've moved into a new position at CBMC, but director of programs essentially oversaw the programs and tools of CBMC. So we provide content, and also we have peer advisory groups that men can get involved with, and we have content they can use to help them, whether it's evangelism training or a discipleship track that they can use to disciple another man. If you want to know about more, you can always go to cbmc.com. It opens up a world to what CBMC has to offer for Christian businessmen.
My understanding is you have some thoughts today about what retirement looks like as part of, I guess, your mission. You probably have thought a lot about what retirement looks like for the Christian. How are you guys understanding retirement and how our culture understands it?
It's interesting. I want to start with how our culture views it, because again, our culture, we are, you know, ingrained that as soon as we are engaged in the workplace, we're already thinking about retirement because we've already have, you know, we're putting money into our retirement account. So we begin automatically thinking about what am I going to do when I get done working? And that's the key phrase, done working. You know, we have a vocation. A lot of times our identity is tied up into what our vocation is. And that's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ. And as Christians, yes, we have a vocation, but I don't think the word retirement's in the Bible. In fact, the only time it talks about retirement, and if you want to call it that, is back in the Old Testament when the Levite priest would leave their duties at the age of 50. Even though they stopped serving in the temple, they didn't stop working. They assisted the new younger priest who went into those duties. So again, the idea of stepping away from our vocation a lot of times invokes the connotation that we're done working. Our purpose is over. It's interesting. We've seen men who retire and their plan was to go off and drink pina coladas, enjoy pickleball, play golf. A lot of them end up either with health issues. They have mental issues, emotional issues, because now they feel like they have no purpose. What we want to help men particularly understand is you have a purpose beyond your vocation. And if we start now while we're in our vocation, it's a great way to begin thinking about what am I doing now that's beyond and greater than my vocation, and how am I impacting the kingdom ultimately? It's really changing perspectives.
I'm realizing in America, we think of work as kind of what gives your life value. Net worth is what we talk about. And yet from the start, we're already thinking about retiring as if work is like some sort of inherent evil. Where do these ideas come from?
I think there's a cultural implication. It's kind of ingrained in us. We were created to work. I mean, that's what God told Adam and Eve, go and work in the garden, take care of it and to maintain it. And we, you know, when Jesus left, he gave us the Great Commission. As believers, we're to share the gospel and disciple, make disciples. Just because we retire from a vocation doesn't mean we stop that call for the Great Commission either. We are to continue with that purpose beyond when we step away from a vocation. And we want to encourage men, particularly we can help them because we want them to step into that purpose. I think about men who, you know, who built great companies, who have had the battle wounds of life, imagine pouring into a young professional, a young business person, and sharing with them and encouraging them and discipling them, not only, you know, as a believer, but also helping them develop their skills and profession and sharing that wisdom. That's a great way to impact particularly the next generation, but to impact other believers.
I know you talked a little bit about men retiring. I think you maybe mentioned that they find their life boring or purposeless.
Yeah, it wasn't what it was cracked up to be, because your goal is to, you know, you work your life to build, amass, you know, money, funds, you sell your company, and all of a sudden you're retiring. And men, we've heard men, even Christian men, say, yeah, I'm going to spend time with my grandkids and just travel, and we're moving to the beach, we're selling, you know, they have these plans. But what happens is when you become, we call it just busy. There's nothing wrong with that inherently, I don't think, but you still have an incredible purpose in the kingdom of God. You're not done. We hope to encourage men to remain active or to get active in something more purposeful that's beyond themselves that impacts other people for eternity.
How do you guys help people find their purpose? Presumably everyone's got a different one. God works with people different ways.
As believers, we have the same calling, which is, again, to share the gospel and disciple others. So if you start there, I mean, you can do that at any time, obviously before retirement, but and beyond. I would ask the question of those listening, are you discipling someone now, or have you been discipled? And are you discipling someone else? If you're not, that's a great place to start. And so at CBMC, we have content to help with that. Go to cbmc.com and click on Operation Timothy. That's the discipleship track. We offer it in book form. You can get it off Amazon. Or you can go onto our content platform and use it for free, and you can connect with someone that you're discipling digitally through your phone and meet with that person and go through this content together to help them grow so that they become a disciple maker themselves. So we offer content and support to do that. At CBMC, we also offer peer advisory groups specifically for men at different seasons of life, young professionals, so they can get into community with other men to encourage one another in this process of staying purposeful. Business owners and leaders, we have peer advisor groups for that. We also have areas that are starting peer advisor groups for guys in retirement who are finding themselves in this season of life where they're like, wow, I retired, but something just is a little bit off, or there's something different now. I'm finding myself in a new place and I don't like it. It's not what I thought it was going to be. So we would say getting into community with others, other Christian men, being able to hold each other accountable, encourage one another, particularly as it relates to retirement.
I appreciate the sort of, there seems to be a connection to friendship as a unique and deep love that we need, especially as men. We live in a very lonely culture for men, don't we?
Well, we find that. What we found as a men's ministry, that men are at their worst when they live in isolation. And you can live in isolation and still have people around you. Being able to get into authentic relationships with community of men who hold you accountable, who encourage you, who pray for you, who you can share unique burdens with. When I say unique, meaning maybe business burdens as business leaders, and also to have them come around you in those difficult times. Retirement. I mean, have that burden, if you will, of retirement, being able to share that with other guys who've been through it or who are about to go through it and encourage one another in that process is very powerful. And that's something we offer.
I think I'm beginning to understand. You guys have people, when they've even retired, still find they can fulfill the mission, like discipling younger Christians as they step into their business.
Professional life.
What sort of value do you see older businessmen, Christians, offering to some of your younger constituents?
Yeah. In our ministry, we like to call them sages. These men who are seasoned, action-oriented, godly executives, as we refer to them. But they're men who have been successful with business, but also have the battle wounds, as I said earlier, who can pour into the life of younger businessmen. And it's not just pouring into them professional guidance. It's someone who is spiritually mature, who can share with them wisdom when it comes to how you live out your faith in the business world. I, for instance, think about a guy one time in one of our peer advisor groups who was struggling with it's hard for me to operate. I own and operate three companies. Two of them, they were startups. How do I do that and also be a good husband and father? And having a group of guys come around that person and give them action steps, support, and guidance is super powerful. Being able to have people that pour into your life like that, and then as you go into retirement, you know, now you've gotten this incredible wisdom that's been passed on to you, and you have the battle wounds, you can then, you can pour into someone who was your same self 30 years ago, you know, be able to pour into them as well. It's a powerful thing. And again, as men, we do need that. Problem is, we don't always know how, where to get it, how to connect with that. And we significantly want to help men be able to find that and connect into that type of community.
To make it a little more personal, actually, if you don't mind my asking, how have you benefited from some of the older men? Is there like particular advice that they gave you along your way that you thought was meaningful?
Well, maybe not advice. I've been in a unique position with CBMC in that I've been able to travel and visit some of our peer advisory groups, particularly what is called our Young Professionals Peer Advisory Group, where we have those teams have sages come in to speak. And I get to listen to these guys speak to these young professionals and have these young professionals ask them questions. I've very much enjoyed hearing that interaction and hearing this wisdom handed down. I myself have been discipled recently. Although I've been a believer for over 30 years, I did reach out. I wanted to be discipled one-on-one by a person, and I reached out and had a gentleman who was an executive at IBM who discipled me. We went through Operation Timothy together. Being able to meet one-on-one with him each week for about an hour and just go through this content, but also to just talk and build a relationship together was super powerful. Obviously, there were things that he shared that impacted me when it came to spiritual growth and my purpose, not just to be, you know, to live out my life as a believer, but my purpose is to go and disciple others. So now I am discipling someone who is young, happens to be younger than me, who's a young professional. I'm able to pour into them. So it's kind of this, you know, spiritual multiplication from generation to generation.
You mentioned a lot about discipling being a great purpose for like some of the older generations. I'm considering that discipleship may look different from person to person.
Can I just clarify something? Discipleship is something we are, the scriptures tell us we are to make disciples. What we model it is after the discipleship relationship Paul had with Timothy. That's why we call it Operation Timothy. And so we call those guys who were discipling another person, Paul's, and the person being discipled is a Timothy. That's what we call it. Discipleship can happen in groups. You know, you have churches that have small groups and Bible studies, but life on life, we would say, is where ultimate accountability and the modeling of what a believer means can truly, there's true traction there. Having somebody that you can look to as a spiritual, as someone who's a spiritual mentor to guide you and help you grow, but it is powerful. And I think that's something that's missing. I know for me growing up, I just went to a Sunday school class or a Bible study, which was great, but I was able to slide under the radar in that context. When I had someone one-on-one pouring into me, it was harder to slip under the radar, and someone who's holding me accountable in my walk, it was truly meaningful and powerful for me.
My guest today is Matthew Traylor. He's you're going to have to remind me your new position.
I was the director of programs. I'm now the director of marketing and communications.
Director of marketing and communications at Christian Businessmen's Connection. We're talking about retirement and what Christian businessmen can do post-retirement. Yeah, we've talked about the older generation finding purpose in discipling the younger generation. But how does the younger generation, do you see them ministering to the older retirees?
Absolutely. You combined the relationship of an older businessman and his wisdom with the energy and passion of a younger businessman, and it's pretty incredible what can happen. We see the younger generation, in fact, Barna did research that young Christians crave the relationship with an older, mature Christian. That's it. They did a study, and that was one of the things that came out. When you see a person who is able to feel like they're fulfilling their purpose by discipling a younger person, or not just another an unbeliever or somebody who's a new Christian, doesn't have to necessarily be younger, you see the excitement grow for that person who is discipling someone else. So whether it's an older business leader who's now finds that purpose in reaching and impacting the next generation through discipling and mentoring, it's a big deal. And so I think when there's the younger generation understands that there are business leaders who would love to mentor and disciple them. It's certainly, again, it's an impactful thing to see.
Retirement seems to be like a time of rest that a lot of the world, especially ones that have not yet put their faith in Christ and find the rest in Him. Mm-hmm. Retirement, I think, can look like the end goal because it's like work is toilsome. I mean, it's part of the curse. How can Christians model good rest as retirees to a world that is trying to find rest?
Obviously, we are commanded to take moments of rest, but they're moments. It's not we stop working and we're done till we die. Being able to encourage, what a great way to encourage a non-believer who's in retirement by saying, you know, and obviously it's all about building the relationship. So if you're able to build that relationship and be able to have honest conversations with someone, and you know, maybe they're struggling with, you know, what they're doing, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're enjoying those pina coladas and pickleball, and they're just nonstop. But at some point, it probably will get old. And how can you have those conversations and encourage them and say, hey, there is purpose beyond this, and the kind of impact you can have based off the amount of wisdom you've gained, good and bad, you know, good with, you know, the battle wounds, good and bad, you can be able to share and impact the life of another person. I don't know if that answers your question, but as I think about that, you know, it's another way to engage a non-believer who may or may not be struggling where they're at in retirement.
I'm also wondering about local churches too. I know you guys, your whole mission at CBMC is connecting Christian businessmen. Local churches presumably are not going to be all businessmen.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Have you received any like discipleship from men at your church who maybe were not businessmen and had a different career path?
Well, our content, even though we are a Christian businessmen ministry, our content, particularly Operation Timothy, is designed for anybody, men or women. So the content is used by women as well, but our ministry focuses on men in the marketplace or men in the workplace. But we do have churches that we have partnered with that specifically want to use our content. There are churches who feel like they want to really implement life-on-life relationships in their church. How do we engage in that? Well, they've come to us, and they specifically use our content, and they've began a process within their church of helping people connect, particularly more mature Christians with baby Christians or even non-believers, because our content is also used by, you know, can be used for a person who doesn't believe yet, and engage in those relationships to begin that discipleship process. So yeah, we do partner with churches.
I've got maybe a bit of a curveball question maybe for you. But I know, I'm sorry in advance.
That's okay.
I'm just thinking, well, you know, something that's near and dear to my heart is considering what does it mean for humans to flourish? It seems that you guys have been touching on is that we are not meant for long extended periods of doing nothing or shall we say, you know, self-gratifying sort of rest, you know, going and just entertaining ourselves.
Right.
What do you think that may suggest about how God has designed us?
It all comes down to what is our purpose? Is our purpose to be a business person, or is our purpose to share the gospel and disciple others? It's really what it comes down to. There is no time limit on that. And so I think about a story of a man I've met who owned a agricultural company, made a lot of money, but his purpose was to share the gospel and disciple other, men. He decided to sell his company to retire, but he has not stopped. He may not be running his company, but he shares the gospel. It is his mission to share the gospel and disciple others. When he bought his lake house, he saw his neighbor sitting on a dock. And so he decided to just go over and start talking to him. And his neighbor would sit on his dock drinking a scotch and smoking a cigar every evening. He noticed that. So he began talking and just kind of getting to know the guy. The guy was very gruff, very angry, always seems very just, you know, had a very rough demeanor. But that man happened to be a business owner himself. And as he began talking, the neighbor said, "What do you do?" And he says, "Well, I disciple men." And the guy stopped and said, "Okay, will you disciple me?" And he said, "Absolutely." So they began meeting. Over time, he began to ask questions. They began going through Operation Timothy, and the man accepted Christ. It transformed not only his life, but his son's lives who were helping him run the company. And that man today, that neighbor, is sharing the gospel and discipling others. I share that story in that it doesn't matter whether you're a man or woman. Our purpose, no matter what we do, is to share the love of Christ. That may mean reaching out to a neighbor. It may mean in retirement that we are, maybe we're on the golf course. Maybe it's bringing somebody who's not a believer along with us to the golf course and having some good conversations with them and being an example. Ultimately, that's what we want to equip people to do.
We've talked a lot about purpose. Even secular people in the workplace, so many people, you know, secular psychologists, therapists, whatever you want to say, you got to find your why. Why are you working, you know? As a church, how can we maybe use that and leverage it as an opportunity to, like you mentioned, break into their lives a little bit and disciple them and bring them to Christ?
I think it's always, we always have to be sensitive to the opportunities the Lord puts in front of us to connect and build a relationship with someone, particularly someone who's a non-believer, obviously. We call them the unconvinced, and to be able to have those, be able to have relational conversations with them about where they're at in their life. Because when you do that, the question's always going to come up about their spiritual life. What a great way to begin talking about that with that person. But you got to build the relationships first. You got to be able to model and share that and display the love of Christ in the way you talk with them. So building those relationships with them obviously leads to a point where you can begin to have spiritual conversations with them. So whether you're at your work, whether it's in your family, maybe it's a neighbor, if we're sensitive to having those conversations and listening to the person when they speak, and maybe that flag goes up and you can say, oh, this is an opportunity for me to ask them about their spiritual life and begin having those conversations. That's the best advice I could give, is being attentive as believers to those around you, your neighbors, your coworkers, and family members, and being able to have those spiritual conversations with them.
One last question for you. How can the church support their retirees and building better relationships?
I think one thing as the church we have to be mindful of is we're not just there to entertain and have special groups for those who are retired or seniors and just kind of put them off to the side. They have lived lives that God has woven together with incredible experiences, and it's not meant to be kept to themselves. And there are younger people in their church that would probably love to connect. Maybe the church should look at a way to help connect the older generation, the younger generation, and provide a framework or a track for those relationships to flourish. I think the church needs to be more focused on spiritual multiplication, and it can start with older to younger generation.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Matthew Traylor, Director of Programs at the Christian Businessmen's Connection. Go to cbmc.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Steve Cuss on Church Hurt and How to Recover.
I think so many of these things are fairly simple. We have to normalize talking about emotional and spiritual pain without feeling threatened. I would hope if somebody would come to me and say, Steve, I think that decision you made and the way you made it, it really did some damage. I would hope I would say, I would love to hear more about that. Tell me about your experience.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.